Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning. Good morning.
Ooh, get you.
Good morning.
Hola.
Good morn. Top of the morn to you and you and you.
Well, I've woken up on the right side of the bed, Judith.
You have? I'm just trying to remember who did that. It was Julie Andrews, wasn't it? Good morning to you and you and you.
Or was you and you.
Yeah, the Tyrolean version of it.
Yes.
I love that film. Oh, I love that film.
It's one of your favourites, Judith.
If not the...
These are a few of my favourite things, and you would have that film maybe at the top of your list of favourite things.
It would certainly be right on there. Do you know, lots of people apparently have it played. This is a bit sombre. In hospices, you know, at the end of
Jesus
their lives.
God, do you know what? What you've just metaphorically done to me, Judith. I said, I've got out of bed on the right side. What you did then in one sentence,
you
put me back in my bed and you rolled me over until I got out on the wrong side. Oh, I'm all...
Well, you'll have to pull yourself together, Jenny.
Doom and gloom
pull
now.
Yourself together.
Well, it's quite a nice morning here in London town.
It's gorgeous
and I
here.
Went out into my little garden.
Oh, yes.
And I've got the 5 pots of roses. And, you know, not all of them are doing very well. But there's enough for me to gather some blooms.
Ooh.
And put them in an old gin bottle.
So you have to put a picture of that up.
Well, I put it on my Twitter. I haven't put it on our notice board. Because I did a park life montage yesterday. We can't mustn't inundate. We mustn't...
I know, because it'll be...
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Your garden looked a bit splendid, Judith.
It's looking good. Yeah, it's looking good. I mean, it's needy. You know what I mean? It's very,
yeah,
very needy.
I mean, I'd tarmac over half it and build a house on it, flog it off and live in luxury for the rest of my life.
We wish. But my roses are doing rather well because I splashed out and bought 2 new David Austins. And you know what we like for David Austins. I'm still to go to HQ.
I've been
looking forward to that.
David Austin,
I know you have.
HQ. Yeah.
I know.
It was like stepping into heaven. It was a mid-June day when we were doing a grumpy show. Maybe it was Shrewsbury, somewhere near that. And it was en route to our next venue.
Oh, that was a clever move.
It was a stroke of genius. Dilly Keane,
yes.
One of the grumpiest of the time, said, yes. Oh, I think we'll find that very locally there's the David Austin Garden Centre, the Rose Centre. It is a roses a go-go. And I tell you, we rounded this corner. And for starters, there was a field of roses on one side. And that wasn't even it. That was just the sort of excess, like the sort of overflow car park of roses.
Bloody hell, really?
And then we went in. Oh, Jesus, God. Honestly, Judith, and there were peacocks there and a cafe there.
And a shop. Presumably a big
Japanese
shop.
Japanese people. Oh, it was just... Yes, I bought a rose. I didn't choose well, though. That was the rose I bought with the twisted root, my Vanessa Bell.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. I've still got her, but I've shoved her into a corner. She's, like, in disgrace.
Well, you need to bring her out of herself.
Well,
you
she
need to
can't.
Entice
she,
her out.
Give what a, she does give. Is she flowers these withered blooms.
Oh, bless her.
She's, like,
that's
you
terrible.
Know, that very... A very tragic sort of premature ageing kind of disease that very few people in the world have. But this rose has it.
Oh,
so
dear.
It buds and
oh,
then
dear.
It just ancient withered.
That's
bloom.
A worry, isn't it? That's a worry. I think I'd kick it around the corner, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I've got the corner, so, you know, it's...
The joy that they give me. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? I think it's a very good year for roses, actually. And when I'm cycling around, I find myself now... Very drawn to all the roses.
Yeah,
look at that lovely orange. There's an apricot. There's a white. Look at that rambler.
I know. Ooh. I mean, Jeff wouldn't let me have apricot in the garden, but I'm very drawn to them. As I drive around South London, I think I've mentioned the prefab house in South London that I love the most in the world, with this really kind of wild garden, but really well planted. And beautiful. I stop. I actually pull over, Judith. I pull over.
Do you really?
I get my fat ass out of the car and I peer over the wall. Yeah, I do. That would be.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What's your favourite ones in your garden, Nad?
Oh, the Gertrude. Gertrude.
Gertrude Stein.
Gertrude Jekyll.
Oh, Gertrude Jekyll.
Now, she was a famous gardener, wasn't she?
I can't hear Gertrude Jekyll without thinking she must be something to do with Jekyll and Hyde.
Might be my turn to Google.
Okay, quick Google.
Yes. Yeah, all right. It's okay. I'm going to move on.
Oh, bloody hell, Judith. You're not there yet.
Oh, yeah. British horticulturalist. Ah. I'm right. Oh, she looks like Queen Victoria. She fancy gardening in that. She's gardening in kind of a long dress with a ridiculous hat on.
Yeah, they did. Funny, they did, isn't it? Judith, they did. Yeah, and then just go out in our jeggings.
Yeah. Doesn't say anything about Jekyll and Hyde, but
no, it's got nothing to do with it. That was a wild red, of course. Now then, so our gardens, and if it's not your own garden, you don't have to have your own garden to glory in the roses. Just look at other people's. Do you know what I find? I know you've got form in this, Judith, stealing from parks before you knew it was legal when you were gathering.
Are you dragging that up? Are you?
Yeah, I like to. I like to. It's one of my things. When you were collecting flora and fauna for Sienna's winter wedding and you thought you could cut some holly. Do you remember?
That woman told me off.
Absolutely.
She really gave me a dressing down. She did.
Chased you out the park.
Still stinging. Still stinging, absolutely. That is. Yeah, anyway, go on. You brought it up. Yeah, go
on. When I pass by gardens that are quite neglected, or church gardens where obviously nobody's picked anything, or just, you know, overhangings, things that overhanging.
Oh, yes, I think you're allowed to do that, aren't you?
I don't think you are. I think it's quite a... I wouldn't like to be caught. I think I might have to wait to the cover of darkness.
Yes. Well, I know from experience it is deeply embarrassing.
Yeah.
But I think people... Don't you sometimes see that notice that people said, don't take any plants away? Because I bet you people have in the past. Well, kind of Kew
public gardens.
National Trust.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you can't do that. You can't go with your own secateurs and sort of just say, I'll snip a little bit of this off.
I think people do, but yeah.
I suppose, you know, the people that know what they're doing. No, you can't do that because they've got rare orchids. You can't go to the rare orchid greenhouse and start sort of...
They wouldn't last anyway. They wouldn't last until he got it home. I mean, even I know that.
Where are you on orchids, Judith?
I don't like an orchid. I'm sorry. I know they last for... No, I mean, controversial, isn't it? Oh, don't like them.
Well, I think what's happened is they became a sort of staple of the Marks and Spencers panic
didn't they
gift.
Just?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The panic
it was like
gift,
the panic
absolutely.
Gift. It's a fucking orchid and some of those macaron. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's still an acceptable gift, but it's... Yeah, it just...
They bore me. I think they're boring.
No, Judith. No. What you need to do is go to a proper orchid house, a rare and exotic orchid, and you will not spot your bog standard there won't be those. There'll be miniature ones and things that look like they've got monkeys' faces and all sorts of things. That's where you'll get turned back on with the orchid. Now,
where were we?
Well, we've had our glorious morning chat and now we are having a look back at the week that was.
Well, yes.
And we did another tryout on Sunday. I enjoyed myself. You didn't enjoy it as much.
I didn't. You did warn me. You said the second tryout won't be as good as the first.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, you were right. So what happened is that basically it was a very small venue, wasn't it? And there was a guy who was honestly only about 3 metres away from me.
He was 3 feet away from you, Judith.
Yes.
3 feet.
Okay, 3 feet.
Yeah.
He just looked bored. He looked bored.
Yeah.
And once I clocked, he looked bored. It was really off-putting.
He had a resting bored face.
He did.
He had a resting bored
face.
He
really did.
Not his fault. It's a really, really weird thing. And it's a strange thing. What a lot of audiences don't know is that they are very much part of the show. Really, more than... They've got as much responsibility as we have.
Obviously, do you mean what they do? How they behave?
Yeah, yeah. How they behave and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
Because, you know, especially if you're... I mean... I'm very I am quite experienced because I've been doing this for a long time. So I can kind of, I know when people don't mean it. I mean, when people are clucking you in the eye and yawning in your face, that's when they're really hating
Jesus,
the show.
Do people do that sometimes?
Well, I did. That happened to me when I did a talk at my sister-in-law's school for the sixth form, and a boy did that, and I called him a cunt. And
you didn't?
Yeah, I did. It was very, very awkward. My sister-in-law drove me back to the station, and her jaw was set in this funny line. Anyway, wasn't asked back.
I bet you would.
It was a talk about futures, and I said basically, you know, don't do that. Don't yawn in someone's face. Try not to be a cunt. And that was it. Anyway, so the only thing I ever drummed into Phoebe about manners. I mean, she's quite well mannered, but you know,
absolutely.
She's lived with us for a long time, so she's part savage. Is that when she went to shows, she had to show enjoyment and look interested and sit up and all that, and clap and join in. I mean, that is why sometimes, literally, Phoebe and I have been to shows in Edinburgh, and we are the only two people audibly laughing. because you've got to give encouragement. You've got to give encouragement. And then if it's still shit, then, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, you can't really see them as well, can you? I mean, this is total newbie territory, isn't it? Because of the light, you can't really contextualise it and think, well, OK, he looks bored. But you know what? There's a lady there who's having a really good time. Can't really see it.
Yeah, so there was there was a lady on my side who was giving me everything. Yes, who was great. She won the hypochondriac bingo.
She did. She was very, very on it. She was delightful. As was the lovely lady Carol, I think, who came to see us at the end.
And she gave us some good notes as well.
Did.
And
very
we are
good
quite
notes.
Good. We're good at taking notes. Carol from the gang and her husband, nice jazzy shirt.
Very nice jazzy shirt.
And she was a matron in a boys' school,
I know, she knew her
onions.
Oh, yes, she did. No, very, very good notes, as you say. And that cheered me up. So I've got to be a big girl. And I think the gang will be, you know.
We just need to explain to people. I mean, those who are coming to see the show and those who aren't, it is an odd show for people who don't know us, who don't know this podcast. And I think some people at the theatre may have thought that it was a stand-up package.
Called
Older and Wider. Yes. And that we would each come on and do 45 minutes of stand-up and I'd be the headliner.
Or I'd do 5 minutes.
No, you're not getting away with that, young lady. I can tell you that for absolutely
nothing. And also, it didn't
nothing.
Help. Didn't help that we were sitting on somebody else's set. So I should think that they probably thought, it's a murder mystery, is it?
Well, this is it. Because we were sharing a venue that already had a play installed. And it was like a sort of study Agatha Christie kind of with a big oak desk in it. And, you know, the kind of thing you'd find a body underneath. And you just sort of and china plates on the wall and hunting scenes and all this kind of shit. I mean, we did explain that. We did explain, but you know.
And then our large knicker bunting string over the top. It was it. Yes, they must have thought, what?
But I mean, you know, talking about audiences seeing the right thing, not being in the right place. I went to see Oklahoma. This week. Now, I'm not going to save this for Culture Corner because we've got other things in Culture Corner. But Oklahoma is a very, very famous musical. And
is it Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yes, it's mostly famous for that production. Well, this is the alternative. This is a completely alternative production. And I think quite a lot, possibly as many as 30% of the audience, had no idea that they were going to see a new, stripped-down, cool, sexy, cutting-edge version, which basically did away with any of the Rodgers and Hammerstein. And they presented an element of the story in a very brutal and modern way. And, I mean, I really enjoyed it, although I do think 3 hours is too long for anything, to be quite honest.
How many intervals?
Oh, one interval, but it was an hour and a half, 90 minutes to the first interval. And also, if you're going to the Wyndham's Theatre to see this, just know that it's not a traditional production and it's fucking freezing at the back. We were in L and the seats were absolutely fine, especially as the people in front of us left at the interval.
Result,
giving us an even better view. But the aircon was fierce. And this is something that I always forget about at West End Theatres. Sometimes the aircon is a bit too fucking much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were all going to this young man at the interval saying, "It's we're a bit cold at the back. Have you got any soup? We can forget the ice creams." And the ice cream girl said, "I'm cold too." We're all going, "I'm very cold."
Trouble is, you don't want to do that too much because they'll blast the heating on, which would be awful. You'd be well asleep then, wouldn't you? Well asleep.
Oh, no, wouldn't have been asleep. It was too good to sleep through.
So, wait a minute, are you saying they didn't have any of the songs from Roger Scruton?
Oh, yeah, it was a musical, but it was done in a sort of country and western, very kind of quite slow and deliberate way.
See.
And it was very menacing. It was a very menacing production.
My goodness.
It was an ensemble piece. They were all on stage all the time, more or less. And there wasn't any, you didn't see a Surrey with a fringe on top. It wasn't anything like that. I knew that it was going to be odd because Phoebe had seen it and she loved it. And I thought, well, she wouldn't like Oklahoma. That's just so not her. And then I thought, oh, well, then this is going to be an odd one. And I did quite enjoy the discomfort from some people. I quite enjoyed the kind of confusion it set amongst the audience.
Gosh, it does sound challenging then. I mean, right.
I don't think challenging, but it'd be interesting if anyone else has seen it to get their... Because I think some people would actually love it, some people would be bemused, and some people would actively like it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be the same for us. People will enjoy it or be bemused or actively not like it.
I just hope that Hypochondriacs Bingo works, because I tell you what, Carol put us right, didn't she?
Yeah.
Was it yesterday or the day before? You and I.
It's all just merged into one terrible day.
Okay, let's try this. Okay, you do that and I'll do this and then we'll put that there. And then, okay, let's try it.
Oh, shit, we had to get an algorithm of Hypochondriacs Bingo that would A, play as a proper game, and B, somebody would win, but not too quickly.
But not 400 people at once. And it was surprisingly difficult, wasn't it?
So hard.
Really was.
In the end, you had to go. Instead of Miss, you had Mike, didn't you? Thank God.
Mike.
Suddenly, we were tussling with this, Judith, for 2.5 hours. And then after 2.5 hours, you went, hold on, Mike did maths.
Yeah, did maths and
university.
Further maths. Can you imagine doing maths and further maths?
Yes, was he triumphant when he cracked it?
Oh, yes. Secretly. I mean, you know, kind of a little bit underplayed, but definitely. Well, let's save that triumph until we know whether it actually works on Sunday. But I think it will.
Yeah.
We did. You tried it out and I tried it out.
I tried it with Daisy and it worked.
Yes.
Now, have you been on twin duty this week?
No, we've had the week off. They've been in Cornwall.
Oh,
it's been marvellous.
God.
I mean, I've missed them a bit.
Yeah, up to a point.
Week off.
Oh, God, dude. I bet he woke up on Wednesday morning and just sort of stretched out and thought, I can just loll about all day. I can leave small choking items all over the floor. It's almost worth it, isn't it? It's almost worth putting some nails down or something. Just go, no one's going to pick that up and put it in their mouth. No one's going to be stupid in here. Now, listen, I'll tell you what I might put on the notice board for you know, nanas and grandpas and mums and whatevers and carers. Jeff bought Arlo this toy, which is basically a trainee DIY kit come Safe Breakers DIY box.
Wow.
And it's a cube. And you've got it from Amazon, and it's about 15 quid. It's got a tap on it, right? A tap, he can't do that yet. A fidget spinner, a nut and bolt, a switch, like a light switch, and a key chained to a lock.
Do you know, I think the twins would love this.
He bloody loved it.
Love it. Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of like, you know, you sort of have fantasies about what they're going to like in your head. And I bought this really... cute second-hand wooden train set, just a pull-along thing that, you know, had bricks on into it, and it all comes apart and all that kind of thing. I set that up all cheerful, all the wooden blocks as a train, and I had to put a teddy on it, you know, and I thought, oh, we love that. Couldn't have been less interested. Couldn't have been...
He likes Jeff's cube.
Yeah, particularly the key and the lock. I mean, he can't do it. He hasn't got the
Isn't it funny? I mean, obviously, you and I have never really experienced boys.
No.
And it already is apparent, isn't it, the differences?
Yeah, but he's getting a dolly for his birthday. I don't care what he thinks. He's getting a doll.
Well, yeah, good
pram.
Idea. But, you know, I keep trying to interest the twins in soft toys. Couldn't be bothered. Stanley is obsessed. As you say, cupboards, doors, steps, keys, latches. Yeah. That's what they love. Isn't that funny? Oh, yeah. I want one of those cubes.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'll put a picture of the one we bought on Amazon on our notice board because hey, wouldn't it be great if we became influencers and then the toy company said, oh, you can have a voucher. You can have a £20 voucher. I'd be happy with that, to be quite honest. Anyway, there we go. I'm surprised that your garden isn't just a kind of tip of plastic children's toys actually by now, Judith.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. We've got a second-hand slide. I don't think they're big enough for slides, yes. I know that, yes, Ian has been hinting about us getting a sandpit, which I suppose we could do. Yeah, I guess so. We'll do what all grandparents do, won't we? Get a swing. We'll get the swing.
We can't have that because a swing in our garden goes smack into one wall and then smack into...
The glass on
the back of our house.
Yeah,
and if he had a slide, he'd just go crashing down out onto either slate or concrete or a massive pebble pit. Take your choice, Arlo.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I mean, this is the upside, isn't it, of all the bleeding time we spend in the garden, is that, they can crawl all over the lawn, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I just go down to Ruskin Park, which is obviously... Oh, Ruskin Park, I have to say, it's... some years ago, there was a paddling pool that was in disrepair and there was an appeal put out and I actually put money into that appeal. You know, sometimes you think, oh, I must do that, and then you forget. And
you
I put my hand in my fucking pocket for once and I thought, no, this is necessary, this paddling pool for local kids.
It's a really paddling pools.
Honestly, Judith, ooh. And it was there yesterday and it's on the notice board and it was just sparkling and there were very few children in. And I mean, unfortunately, at this point, Arlo was asleep, but it...
Love it. He'll absolutely love it. Because I saw that photo and I thought it was a swimming pool. It looked so clean. But
yeah,
I'd forgotten all about paddling pools. Yeah, I remember them as a kid. And people used to put little kind of sailing boats on, didn't they?
Well, you can do that. There were just sort of, just some littlies
nice
in there
thing.
And it was just absolutely charming. It really, and I just thought, oh, I'm so glad this has been saved. And there's a little cafe there and there's swings and everything. And it's just, and it's about a 10-minute walk from my house. So,
Perfect.
I really am very, very lucky there. So now then, I think we've got to Hypochondriac's Corner here, Judith. And you have news.
Yes, I've got news to report, which is that, my endoscopy, of which I made quite a song and dance, really. No, I've got a proper label for what I've got, Jenny.
Go on.
Do you want to hear what it is?
Go on.
It's called a sliding hiatus hernia. Three words, you know.
A triplet.
A triplet. Not just an ordinary hernia, hiatus hernia, but a sliding one.
So an SHS. An SHH. What have you got?
SHH.
Sliding hiatus hernia.
Yeah.
It doesn't trip off the tongue, that one.
Not as well as BSV. But it's just, you know, I can have it up my sleeve, can't I? As a talking point, as a way of getting attention.
Absolutely. Because now I am intrigued and I'm thinking, well,
are you?
You know, what does that actually mean?
Well, it means I looked at some of the symptoms. I mean, basically, it means that they just keep me on this kind of medication to stop me burping, and I'm supposed to
eat
less
and
less.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah,
exactly. There's no, you know, I spoke to the doctor, and he said, yeah, no, it's very common. Apparently, it's very common. That deflated me. No, but I was looking at the symptoms. Apparently, one of the symptoms it should be that when you eat, you have a feeling of being very full. Well, I'm sorry to report that
sadly,
I do not have that.
Yeah, that's the one
bugger.
Symptom you don't have.
It's
okay.
The one I want.
Do you have to avoid anything? Do you have to avoid fatty foods?
I think fat, yes. And very spicy foods. It's just dull, isn't it? It's dull.
It's a little bit dull, yes. Oh. Maybe you have to line your stomach with milk, you know, a proper glass of milk, instead of, like, yeah. You know, when we were sharing that room in a hotel and you started attacking all the little UHT cartons. Well, talking fatty foods, Jeff and I went to Five Guys in Leicester Square.
Oh, Five Guys.
Before the theatre.
Oh,
Five Guys called Mo.
Yeah,
have you not
right?
been?
No,
well,
no.
It's spick and span. That's because if we had that, so we had 45 minutes before
tricky.
The show.
Oh, you can't do anything fancy with 45 minutes.
You can't do anything fancy with 45 minutes.
No.
So, and I just thought, I looked at Pret and I thought, my heart sank. I just thought, oh, no, I had a sandwich for lunch, another sandwich. Oh, no,
yeah.
And, you know, we're out, let's go out. And we popped into one, you know, little place and said, we've only got this. And they said, no, fine, that'll be fine. And then we sat down. They didn't take our order. I thought, fuck this.
Oh, and, God. You can tell, can't you?
Yeah.
All the bad signs.
Even though you've said, listen,
yes,
you've got 45
minutes. Yes, even though
minutes,
you said. Yeah.
Just, and then they ignore you for 7.5 minutes. And then that was, you know, I said to Jeff, 7.5 minutes. And then we were out. And there was the Five Guys was just there. And I'd only been once before with my friend Julie Ballou. I just thought, fuck it, for once I'm just going to have something stupid. And I usually have terrible menu masochism and sort of end
do.
Up just with, you know, but I there was no menu masochism choice
to
there,
be had.
Really,
no,
to be
I'm
had.
Sure.
So you
right.
had to give into it. You had to lean into the fatty foods. And I had the hot dog and I made a mistake at this point. I should have just had it plain, but I loaded it up with cheese and bacon and mayonnaise and a pickle, right?
Sounds okay to me so far.
Well, unfortunately, their mayonnaise isn't very good.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
Well, you'll be taking your own, won't you?
That's
the kind of women we're turning into that takes their own mayonnaise.
Yeah. I need a superior mayonnaise. Yeah, but they're skin on chips, Judith.
I like a skin on chip.
Yeah,
you
can con yourself. They're a bit healthier, can't
you? Oh, yes. All those vitamins underneath your skin, apparently.
And Jeff got a medium portion. I've never seen
Did
so many
he?
Chips. So many chips in all my life.
Did you have your own portion of chips?
No. I thought I'd have
stole
enough.
His.
Yeah, but he had so many. He had the burger and we shared the chips. And honestly, Judith, I mean, it was terrible, but it was great. And it was. We got everything within 5 minutes of walking into
Brilliant.
The place. We had a little
Brilliant.
Booth. We had a booth.
Ooh.
And then we just crossed the road and we were at the theatre. It was
perfect.
It was perfect.
And it didn't cost a fortune, presumably.
Well, it still cost 26 quid.
God, did it really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, things are expensive, aren't they?
Oh,
crikey.
So frighteningly expensive.
Yep.
I spent
yep.
100, because I won't go over 130 quid on the weekly shop. So I just stop. And literally 5 days later, the fridge was absolutely empty.
I know what you mean. Things like cheese, isn't it? God, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I like saying that in a Welsh way. Ridiculous. Go on. What?
Not bad, but I wouldn't like to hear any more. Do you know what I mean? I think by about the seventh word, it would have gone very, very badly wrong.
Yeah.
Talking about
Sooner
cheese, I've got two bits of gossip to tell you this week.
Oh,
before,
gossip!
Before we...
Right.
And one's quite dull and you might do snore law on me. One is quite funny but awful. Right, so I dropped Arlo off last night and I was coming back. It normally takes me about 20 minutes to drive back from Phoebe's. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. There had been an incident in Camberwell. The whole place was taped off. I had to go the most circuitous routes. And I honestly, it was gone 6 o'clock and I was so hungry, I was almost faint. I was like, I didn't know what to do. At one point I thought, I'm just going to go ahead in the opposite direction, get out of all this traffic and just park up somewhere near maybe a supermarket.
Right.
And just get some food in the car park. And then I thought, oh no, Phoebe gave me a bag of cheese, right? Because, you know, they're dairy free and they do those fresh boxes and sometimes they come with grated cheese to add to them or all this kind of thing. And she's given me this bag of the cheese that they can't have.
I know where this is heading. Did you open it?
I fucking broke into it. Oh, I couldn't help myself, Judith. I thought about you when I was doing it. I was I was just stuck in this traffic eating cheese. Anyway, the other bit of gossip I've got for you. Right. Do you ever log on to Grandsnet?
Not very often. Occasionally. Go on.
Now, I'm a big fan of Mumsnet because I think it's actually really, really, very, very useful. And if ever I sort of, you know, worried about anything to do with small children, you know, I'll often look at...
You'd go there rather than Grandsnet. Yeah, I think that's sensible,
Yeah. I mean, to be quite honest, Grandsnet is like stepping into 1952.
Yeah, it is, I know.
So anyway, there's these forums. I'm still sort of now and then, and there's a forum. And on the forum list, it was, have you ever thrown a book in the bin? I just, for some reason, I idly clicked on it.
Go on. Oh, no. Oh, Jenny.
I won't give the woman's name. I mean, you know. And
go
it
on.
Just starts. This email goes, Camberwell Beauty by Jenny Eclair.
Oh,
okay,
dear.
Get this. I bought it in a charity shop. That's a blow for
big
starters.
Spender.
Began reading and got to the bit about a baby and was so disturbed by the writing I put the book in a bin.
Oh,
has anyone ever had a reaction like this?
Oh, no. Was there anybody else? Did you pretend to be somebody? Why didn't
I didn't respond. I didn't respond. I just sort of reeled back a bit. I mean, I will. Okay, there's something I will. In her defence, Camberwell Beauty is not a book I would write now. It's a very cruel book. I wrote it when I was about 39 and end of the 90s. And it was a cruel time. And we were quite horrible to each other. And it is a book that if you have a very warped sense of humour and you like your comedy very, very, very dark.
I read it a long time ago. I just can't remember this sort of darkness in it, really.
Oh, well,
well,
the thing is, the bit about the baby stuff happens right at the very, very end.
Very beginning. I mean, it's very end.
End.
Right.
So it's five pages from the end. So she obviously stuck with it until those last five pages and then threw it in the bin. So, you know, anyway, she got her money's worth from the charity shop. There we go. So that leads us very neatly into Culture Corner.
Into Culture Corner.
Books.
It does. Now, are you're still reading the Yellow Face, are you?
Yes, very much so, which has become this runaway bestseller. I think it's number one in the New York Times.
Gosh,
and
is it really?
Yeah.
It's a sensation, isn't it? Is it the first novel?
No, it's not her first novel. Okay. She's a Chinese-American girl. Yeah, Rebecca F. Kwang. It's a very cool book. It's very on the pulse. The cultural references are spot on. I mean, the initial concept about this stolen book is kind of hard to swallow, which is a kind of joke because the original writer of this book chokes to death on a pancake. But the writing is very, very smart. Very smart indeed. And Jeff and I are very much enjoying it.
Mm.
I'm not sure how she's going to finish it. But the material about what it's like to be at the end of a Twitter backlash is fabulous. I think this is very much a book
interesting.
That Daisy, podcast Daisy, would really, really like. Really like. And I think you'd like it, but I think it's sort of spot on for the 40-something market.
Right. With whom you obviously identify.
I do. Because reading-wise, I'm 25 years younger than I am.
Well, of course you are. Of course you are.
And I finished Emma Klein's The Guest about a week in the life of a young female grifter whose life has unravelled big time. This has had very mixed reviews, but I think she's a brilliant young writer. And that's that. So what are you on book-wise?
I finished the second Graham Norton, which I quite liked, but I think I'm not sure whether I'll become a serial Graham Norton reader, but his performances are amazing. Absolutely
that's
amazing and
know.
Audible. Really good. So, and I just started Stuart McConey's new book, and I'm a big fan of Stuart McConey because we used him a lot on the Grumpy series, and actually I'm quoted in one of his books, funnily enough.
This a novel? Because he often writes
It's about the nanny state and how that came about and the lie of it, really, I suppose. It's obviously very left wing, but it's clever. You know, Stuart's a he's a clever, erudite boy, and yeah, I'm enjoying.
So it's quite journalistic, really. So.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's less. I mean, because it's very, you know, it's not balanced. It's his opinion, but it draws on a lot of facts and history, and it makes you think about what Thatcher did and sort of privatisation and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And it's read by him. It's good. It's good.
Okay. TV.
Well, we're catching you up on the Steel Town Murders with Philip Glenister, who's so brilliant. Yeah, enjoying that very much.
It is good, isn't it?
Oh, it is good. It's very good. I mean, it takes you back to the 70s big time, doesn't it, as we said before. And Philip Glenister's just great. He's such
And the younger version of him is good as well.
And the younger version, absolutely. Because we're flitting between the 70s and I suppose what the...
Is it the late 90s or the early noughties?
I must check that up. But yeah, I know. I often watch that and you think, oh yes, they've got those funny little phones. It's obviously not, you know, nothing like current day.
It's interesting that it's in two different time frames and none of them are now. And I quite like that. It's sort of two period pieces. It is unusual. I think that for what I've seen, it's the first time anybody's done that. So good on them. Any good films, Judith?
Yes, seen a couple of good films. On Netflix, we found Courier with Benedict Cumberbatch, which you may have seen. I mean, it's not a new film, but it just came up on Netflix as sort of quite popular. Terribly good, about the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And Benedict Cumberbatch plays, I mean, it's based on a real story, a true story. He plays this kind of businessman in the 50s who becomes a spy. He's kind of recruited by MI5 to do some spying on a business trip. And it kind of develops into a friendship with his Russian counterpart. And they basically swap all this information. He brings home all this information, which changes the course of the missile crisis in Cuba.
Which I've always been a bit confused about. That's the one about the Bay of Pigs, isn't it?
I don't remember about the Bay.
Oh, God. Oh, God, fucking hell. This is where we get confused.
I know. I think the Soviets basically put all these missiles on Cuba because it was close to Florida. The Americans basically said, look, you know, fuck off, stop doing that, or we'll press the nuke. And you haven't quite got the nuke yet, but you're about to. So it was obviously a big kind of, you know, standoff.
I mean, Jeff remembers this being, you know, incredibly frightening.
Yeah, Mike does too.
Incredibly frightening.
And in the film, they are being told about, you know, what do you call those places? Oh, sorry. You know, the drills that you'd have to go through what you'd need to take, the nuclear shelters. It was terribly, terribly real. And then this lovely guy who's a businessman is kind of swapping these secrets. And basically the White House is kind of piecing together what they've got in Cuba. It's extraordinary. It's a really good film.
Was that your Saturday night? Was that you and Mike on Saturday night? Sounds like a Saturday night film.
Yeah.
Well, we did. It's really important to get something that you both really enjoy on a Saturday night if you're not going out, isn't it? It's like, and if you don't, it's like a really big disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
So we got really stuck into, this is quite niche as well, a documentary on Amazon Prime called The Thief Collector. Now, this is niche, but we loved it. It's a quirky true life story about a couple of married school teachers and how they pulled off one of the biggest art heists in America by strolling into a gallery and cutting with a blade a valuable $400,000 Willem de Kooning painting from a frame. Willem de Kooning is a very famous American abstract artist. Right. By the time the painting was discovered, hanging behind their bedroom door, where it had been for over 30 years, the painting was worth $160 million.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? And it was found by these really decent blokes that, you know, clear up estates and have a shop and then sell things on. And they had this real de Kooning in. And people started coming in and like going, fucking hell, that looks like a real de Kooning. And they knew when they were first offered $200,000 for it that something was going on. And they were just so honest, and they sort of immediately called the... it was fascinating. And this,
but why did they do it? Why did they steal it and not try and sell it and just put it on the back of the bedroom door? Why did
this is the mystery. What's fascinating. That's the mystery about it. But they were obviously buying and selling other things because they had this very exotic lifestyle. They travelled. It's a great documentary if you're interested.
Oh, yeah, I like
we
the
love
sound
a bit of art heist, and it's sort of dramatised in this very kind of slightly Wes Anderson way at the beginning, just tiny bits and bobs. But no, that's good.
Sounds good.
That's good.
I like
if you're interested
that
in that kind
much.
Of thing, we loved it. And there's a sort of darker undertone to it as well, which was interesting. Okay, what was your
sounds
other film,
good.
Judith?
We went to the cinema. In the afternoon, the old gits slot where they offer you a free tea and coffee as well.
Oh, yeah, but they do that down the road in East Dulwich as well. Yeah, over 60s,
silver
screenings.
I noticed that some people in our row had brought their own biscuits. Yeah. I thought that was a bit much. We went to see Mad About the Boy, which is just out, and it's basically a documentary about Noel Coward. Masses of... obviously, you know, archive footage, but loads of home movies which hadn't been seen before, kind of voiced by Rupert Everett, and it's a very classy documentary about Noel Coward, and I kind of didn't really, I mean, yeah, I know a bit about Noel Coward, but I didn't really know that much about Noel Coward, and I mean the talent, but also the fact that he invented this persona with this clipped upper class accent, came from a really poor background. He was the breadwinner of the family when he was in his sort of late teens.
I do understand because it was the way to get on. Even my father to some extent did it because, you know, he was very northern, my dad, in real life. But when he joined the army, he realised that the quickest way up the pole was to sound posher than he was.
Isn't that interesting?
And he was terribly convincing. And then in the end, I assumed that's how my father always spoke. So when I met my Uncle Stanley for the first time, I could not understand why they sounded so different.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Elocution lessons were a thing, weren't they, for that very reason. So his personality, his persona was a sort of construct, really. And then obviously the layer of homosexuality, which he could never, not really until very later in life, could he probably reveal that.
But it was so obvious. I mean, everything he did was so camp.
Of course. But so witty. And lots of footage of him talking to David Frost and another talk show host and just being very, very sharp-witted and on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would imagine he's a nightmare. But sort of ego.
Oh, was he smoking on the chat shows?
Yes!
Remember when people used to smoke on chat shows?
All the time. Yeah. And David Frost was. Funny, isn't it, when you see that now?
It's
but yes,
bizarre.
Rather good. Rather good.
That sounds very good. Now I'm going to very quickly run over the art exhibition we saw. Some people might be pissed off by this review, but the Rossetti exhibition at Tate Britain is weak and repetitive. And in the end, you come out thinking he was a bit of a one-trick pony. There are only beautiful young women with red hair. And of course, these paintings are fabulous. And if you love your pre-Raphaelites,
I do.
And there are about 10 paintings and any one you would kill to have in your house. But the subject matter becomes so obsessively one note. It becomes a bit samey. And then there are a lot at the beginning of the exhibition, a lot of very difficult for me to see pen and ink drawings of very detailed. And I just don't really do it. You think, OK, give me the meat, give me the paintings. I still think the story of the Rossettis is really interesting, but I can see why this show got so many 2-star reviews when it opened. Because I remember reading one in, I think, The Guardian or one of the big papers and just thinking, that's a mean review for the Rossetti.
Yeah, but you sort of need to know because they're not cheap. I mean, you need a review.
They're not cheap,
things.
You're absolutely right. I mean, it was free for us because we're members because, you know, we live here. That's what we do. We're members of the Tate. But yeah, I would be if I paid very good money. I'd have been a bit fed up,
disappointed.
Actually.
Yeah, good. To know.
Have you been listening to any radio this week?
Yes, I found a real gem on BBC Sounds. It was on Radio 4. It's a one-to-one series
presented by Darshini David. And she talks to the fashion editor of the Times, Anna Murphy, specifically, mm-hmm. this was on last week, this week, about ageing and image in women, basically.
Yeah.
The clothes that women choose, the sort of decisions that we make about the style and what we want to project to the world, and how the industry is kind of shifting, but and how, I suppose, where it might go. And she, I think she was just terribly sort of eloquent about that, and about how we, as we get older, often choose things like colour and I don't know, something that's got a bit of kind of loudness to it, to you know, to express our non-invisibility, our visibility.
Well, and we discuss this on stage, Judith, do we not? We have a little chat about fashion.
I suppose we do. Yeah. Which, it's a good half hour. I would recommend it.
That sounds very interesting. Okay, now in terms of sort of feedback from our listeners, I'm very proud to say that my live podcast Fart was heard from as far away as Canada last week. So thank you, Mary Jane, for letting us know. She suggests I fart a new theme tune, but sadly not even my wind is musical.
Interesting idea.
And there was a great email on claustrophobia from Alison. Have you got that one, Judith?
Yes, I have. Alison, 56 and 8 months. And she says, I'm not too bad in small spaces, but I have a genuine fear of being trapped in my clothes.
Brilliant.
But my finest hour came years ago when, getting ready for the school run, I decided on a last minute change of outfit, which meant replacing my knee length boots. Try as I might, I couldn't undo the zip of one of my boots. It caused a genuine panic attack. I couldn't get it off. Go on.
She goes, my daughter, aged about 6 at the time, remembers how I asked her to call the fire brigade. Thankfully, she didn't. Eventually, I managed to set myself free. That really made us laugh. Alison, thank you very much indeed. Thank you for all your emails this week. And thank you for encouraging us about the show. That's, you know, very grateful for that. And we can't wait to see you.
Absolutely. Genuinely
Sunday.
Can't wait.
Genuinely really looking forward to seeing your faces. You know, but if you have a resting bored face and you have a ticket for the front row, do you mind? Would you mind swapping? Would you mind finding a really cheerful looking person who's got a seat at the back and saying, listen, we're going to do a ticket swap because they need you at the front, okay?
Good idea.
All right.
Good idea.
Well,
all right.
Listen, we're all very busy this week, so we'll be off now. Take care, everyone. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.